I'd like to continue on that theme and the others that have been made, the other comments that have been made, by just sort of summarizing this point that, first, you can understand the scriptures. Mark has mentioned that there are certain passages which there often are perhaps difficult explanations, difficult to find an explanation of precisely what is meant. Or there are passages where there are honest differences between sincere, true-hearted believers who look at a passage this way and understand it a certain way and look at a passage another way, and both may be within the scope of the major doctrines of the scriptures. And sometimes we hear those kinds of conversations and we have the impression, well, if even people who've been reading the Bible for so long have these, you know, conversations or disagreements or look at it different ways, they come to different conclusions, I guess there's no hope for me. And what we revert to then is we say, we read the Bible, and you might have heard this in Bible study conversations or even just in conversation among friends. We tend to say sometimes, well, what this scripture means to me is, and it's very true, we're going to come to this later, we must understand what the scripture means in application for us. But we don't want to give the impression that we're just trying to see what this verse means to me, and who knows what it means to you. The Bible means something. It means something when it says something. There are broad Bible doctrines. There are important, historically understood, orthodox Christian teachings. Jude wrote about the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And whenever you hear someone who says, I found a new teaching, or a new way to understand the passage, you go running very fast in the other direction, because it's going to take us in the wrong direction. There have been many, many over the years, some recent and some long ago, and it will happen again, who they look at the scriptures and they say, well, to me, here's what I noticed, even though not a single person over the last 2,000 years has ever noticed this, I've noticed it. And it's dangerous. The scriptures mean something, not just to us personally, but they mean something in their context. But saying all that, you can understand the Bible. It is not written in a way where God is sort of playing hide and seek and saying, you know, come find me, see if you can figure this out. He wrote it in the ordinary languages of the day. It was written in language that was accessible. There was classical formal Greek. The Bible wasn't written in classical formal Greek. It was written in common Greek. There are words that are written even in just the Aramaic, the colloquialisms of the day, if we might say it that way. It's meant to be understood. And unbelievers, many unbelievers, use that as an excuse for not learning the Bible. And many believers use that as an excuse for not learning the Bible. Well, I don't really know how to study the Bible, so I'm not really sure what to do. And then they never read the Bible, and so it doesn't get any better. God intends us to understand the Bible. So that's that little rant there about the fact that God wants us to understand. And then also that every Christian in any situation, whatever we are in God's purposes in evangelism, if you're going to explain the gospel to a friend, to a coworker, you have to know the Word of God. You have to understand and be able to start from that scripture. He started from that scripture and preached unto him Jesus. If you're going to give an answer, 1 Peter chapter 3, if you're going to give an answer for the hope that lies in you, you're going to defend the integrity of the Bible. You're going to defend the biblical Christianity as a worldview that deserves to be followed and has merits to be accepted. It means that we understand the Bible. In 2 Timothy 2, it says the servant of the Lord must be apt to teach, capable of teaching. Any servant of the Lord. Do you want to do some service for the Lord? Understand the Bible. This is a role for brothers and for sisters, Priscilla and Aquila in Acts chapter 18. They took a brother into their home who had an imperfect understanding of the ways of God. I opened to that earlier. Now I changed my page, so I don't have the exact phrase, but they heard him. They heard Apollos, Aquila and Priscilla heard Apollos speaking, and they explained the ways of God to him more accurately, right? So he had some knowledge, but he needed to understand more. So they took him into their house, and together they did that. Whatever we are, whoever we are, whatever role we have, the necessity of understanding the scriptures, I alluded earlier to this phrase, that you may grow by it. First Peter chapter 2, as babies, desire the milk of the word, the sincere milk, the pure milk, the mental milk, different translations put it differently. The milk of the word, desire the word of God the way a baby desires milk, because by it you grow. So if you feel a little stagnant, if I feel a little stagnant in my Christian development, I will grow by reading the word of God and understanding it. I will learn more about who God is and who Christ is and who I am in all of those aspects of how the Bible presents the truth. There may be some more thoughts on this idea of the power and the necessity of understanding, so I'll leave some more space before we continue on. In the back, yes, Luke.
I just, excuse me, had a question then. The fact that it was written, for example, in Koine Greek, do you think that encourages us to stop using archaic translations, like, for example, the King James translation of the Bible, that use old-fashioned language and sort of outdated modes of speaking, both in personal study but also in sharing the word in favor of something that is maybe more easy to understand and without the unnecessary hurdles of sort of learning 1600s English?
Any other questions? No, I'm kidding. I think it's an essential question. And I think one has to be circumspect in answering it, because some say, don't ever give up the King James English. And there are those who believe it to be preserved as effectively as the original manuscripts of the scriptures, that God preserved the scriptures into the King James translation, and therefore that is, you know, the safest translation to use. That seems extreme to me. I don't think that there is in fact, little historical note that's interesting. The Puritans, who were using a different Bible when the King James Bible was translated, they were using, I think it was the Geneva Bible. The Puritans did not like the King James translation. It's too modern.